Okay, I guess good morning, good afternoon. The we're holding here now, and the morale went through a few esbarium on the different possibilities of what mitzvahs are, and if there's a time on mitzvahs or not. So now the morale is giving his pshat. Omnom, Yisrael am Hashem, Ashebocha behem, v'nisiyach Hashem Shemach Yoyse v'yoyse, Sheshem nefesh v'chadis loikis v'yoyse. Kal Yisrael has a special nefesh that is miyuchet to it's a loikis. Nisiyach to oid b'mitzvahs leisah Hashem shasei, k'shasah k'vishem miyuchadim, nisiyach to yoyse shlo yeitzim naseh aroyu. They have more a mitzvahs lo sasei to prevent them from leaving the appropriate Seder. In other words, their Seder, we'll explain in a few minutes, is more complex than Umas Olam, and that's why they need more Los Haseis to keep them from losing their Seder. And they have also Ramach Mitzvahs. The Nefesh that's in the Guf has a tendency towards Teva. Vibemis Nefesh Alukis Melamala. Rak Shi Medes Beguf. Tzorch Lahoyte Isa Minat Teva. Velias Lo Dveikus Bo Yisbara. Bezel De Mitzvahs Ashamaisa Mitzvah Fi Asechal Shemesur El Adam. So he says, the Maisa Mitzvahs Ala Fi Asechal Shemesur El Adam. And again, we'll explain this point as he explains it. Vade Shoisa Mitzvah Shi Seda Sichli. Yesh Adam Dveikus Be Sichli. Viyoitze So he says over here that the difference between Yisrael and Umas Olam lies in the Tzur of the Nefesh. He says, he calls it something which is a Seder Sichli that requires more Shmira to stay in it, and more mitzvahs are needed because the Adam is in a Guf, and Tzor Lahoitesa and Elias Ladvekos. That's the big picture. Then he says, "V'zesha amah u'ma ichpasa l'kadosh baruch hu b'sheich min atzava b'sheich min oirif ben oichel tayris ben oichel tmeis rotzoloyme k'ein Hashem yisbaruch chofitz b'shchita b'tzad ha'shchita b'atzma sh'davar toiv ki ma ichpasa l'kadosh baruch hu b'shchita b'atzma ki achar shu mafsir b'al chai mali mafsir min atzava min oirif ala nita torak l'tzarif ha'briyis k'dei shia maise ha'odom k'ashnois aser ha'sichli sh'loi min Hashem yisbaruch." So let's explain the points that he's making here, the Nekudis, and then we'll have a better sense of it. The word Seder and the word Seichel are words that the Maral uses a lot, and together also. Let's give a mashal. Imagine a person is an important executive, let's say, of some sort, an important businessman, and he has to dress well for meetings. The person is clueless in terms of what goes with what matches, what fits well, etc. So somebody explains to him how important it is, and he gives him a number code, and he tells the person, okay, this is jacket 1, 2, 3. These are jackets 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are pants 1, 3, 4, 5. These are shirts. These are ties. Any odd number will match with an odd number. Any even number will match with an even number. So numbers I know real well, and I do that. Let's even give an example: a person who is low lenis saginar, a person is blind, and he's never seen anything, and he's taught again this shirt can only be worn. Here's a little indentation. Here's a little braille note on this shirt, on this pair of pants. And any time it says the same thing, if it says white, it fits together. If it says blue, it fits together, and so on. So what I'm doing is I am taking something that belongs to a universe of meaning. I am translating it to a person who doesn't really have the sense of that universe. And I'm doing it by translating it to the language that he understands. So this person who's this businessman and doesn't understand why this shirt goes with this tie, and there's no way you can explain it to him frontally. You can't tell him, you know, this shirt that doesn't match with this pants or whatever it is. I can do it by numbers, and I could say anytime the numbers are odd or even, it matches. So he understands that mitzvah odd and even, and he also understands that he's being given a key to a world that he may not understand. The same thing with the person's lo leina saginar. I'm giving you a set of instructions that you can cope with in your world, but it makes sense in another world. So for the person who's listening to the coach, so I have this coach that's teaching me how to dress. He's given me instructions that I can follow very faithfully because the instructions are in my language. The problem is it has no meaning in my world. There's language. I mean, yes, the odd number shirts will fit the odd number suits, but why? Is there some sort of gematria? Is it important to wear something to write gematria? No, I've taken things with meaning in one context. I've given it a simona milsa in another context, and that's how it works. So we have the ability to translate tachlis and things from one world to another world, but not mitzaretz mohus, almost by definition. Let's say a person buys some sort of model to assemble in his house, and you want to make it as simple as possible, even for somebody who knows nothing about electronics. And I tell them the blue cable goes to the blue pin and the white cable goes to the white pin. So I'm dealing with the world of colors. It is a correct, practical translation. It gives me zero of the teichen. It has nothing to do with the fact that this is blue and this is blue. It has nothing to do with the fact that this is white and this is white. So we're familiar with the metzias, where you have things that are meaningful in one framework. They are not. They can be translated lemais another framework, and that's it. So this is a crude approximation because it's a little bit better than this, and we'll go a step further in a minute. So there is a Seder Ha'olam that is called Seder HaSichli. In other words, things that are meaningful in another framework, and that's called, in the Maral's world, in the Maral's language, Sichli is something that is beyond our experience. It's something which would be, like the word conceptual possibly, it's something that really has no physical reality to fit it. That's called Sichli. And Seder means an entire universe, an entire structure. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we have in us a Seder HaSichli. Now, let's go a little bit, let's make the mashal a little bit more apropos so that we get a better sense of it. We spoke about having something I have no clue, a person who's lo leinu blind, and we just tag numbers on the shirts. We make little blips or something, little braille on it that we can match it. But there's another possibility. Let's say I believe that this person does have an aesthetic sense. It's a child who hasn't yet learned. And I believe that the child has a sense, but it's very, very underdeveloped. So I start by every day telling him, this shirt is not going to fit this pants, this tie is not going to fit the shirt, and so on. My hope is that with time, it will begin to make sense as a world to him. It'll begin to make sense in terms of what this is, and he'll then begin intuitively possibly to figure it out himself. That's a transition of going from a world that's not at all shy up to this, to a world that's out of context, because I believe the person has it in him. That's a marshal that's much closer home. We understand as follows, that a person has in himself a chelik alakai mimal, what the Maral calls the nefesh ha-sichli, something which really has no shaykhs to this world. it has shaykhis and its understanding and its musagim are of another world. But as far as I'm concerned, the me that's now thinking, the me that's the active window, it has very, very, it kimat doesn't feel part of me. So when someone comes and tells me now that the reason should this mitzvah is because it makes this tikkun and this oilam and this and this that, I mean, okay, I mean, I'll if I trust the person, if it's a heilige yid, I'll say, of course. Can I say it's meaningful to me? No. I don't know what these things are. I have no idea what these tikkunim are, what these spheres are. They're nothing like I know of. They feel alien to me. I have no shaykhus to it. So I need to be able to instruct me in terms that are shaykh to this world. And that's why you have maisa mitzvahs that have clear physical gedarim. So I sit and learn Shulchan Aruch. Am I supposed to shecht it from the neck? Am I supposed to shecht it from the back? Rav simanim, not rav simanim, this, that, and so on. And basically what I'm studying is this type of thing like the mashal I gave with the braille, the labels. I'm basically just studying what these things correspond to. So if I'd learn Hilchos Shechita and I follow Hilchos Shechita faithfully and do exactly what it says, I'm a chamla emes. But understanding the emes, the difference between nevela and shchuta, I've no feel for that, no understanding for that. That's the beginning of olam mitzvahs. So to someone who does not have an inner sense of the aesthetic, then I can just give some instructions, but I'm not at all going to try and develop that sense in him because I don't believe he has that sense in him. So I will just leave it at simple, you know, what I feel the person can handle. If I think a person has a latent sense of these things, I give him a lot of different exercises because he'll come into it. So Morale says like this, let's go back. So he says like this, if you try to translate Shechita into this world, Musagim, to give a tam a mitzvahs, where the tam is going to be this world, you're going to fail. At the end of the day, the poor behemoth dies. Whether you chopped it from the back or the front, it doesn't make much of a difference to the behemoth. So to translate Shechita as a more humane way of killing, it may be true, may not be true, but at the end of the day, that can't be the substance of it. Means the first thing is I'm trying to get you to act in accordance with this type of Seder Sichli for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am acting according to values of a very, very different universe. And that itself is mitzaref the nefesh. The morale is adding over here, and I think this is the point he's making. If, let's say, I didn't have it in me. Let's say my nefesh is a simple nefesh. It can't understand these type of things in any way. Then there's no reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be mitzaveh to me. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need me to go around making tikkunim of any type. It's what do I, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants a person to grow, change, become what he is, be'etzim, and so on and so forth. So it's the only way I can justify mitzvahs that don't have a mashmos in this world is that a person moves forward and begins to get it. So there's another knetch here. The very fact that a person's musagim, become musagim that are of a different nature, of a different world, means the person is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The musagim that the person now has is different. So a person who gets an intuitive sense for Kedusha and Reimimus and all sorts of values that are not immediate physical values, we have a sense that the person is closer to Baruch Shalom than a person whose only sense of mitzvahs is what makes a more efficient world and a kinder world, etc. The having a sense of the next dimension makes a person close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'da'oit, k'agar'ina shenizah v'adama, hu moitzi ilon apes v'ana nafik. When you plant a seed, you get a tree with fruit and so on. The fruits and the leaves are a very specific type. Every seed produces the flowers, fruits, and etc. that are shaykh to it. Valtoima Shimhoya Moitse and often Valamitsura Cheres, Shazerak, Raki Kakaza Tevashkar in, Ubitsura Zois. So if there is any change whatsoever in what happens, any mutation, it's bad, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the good of everything is where what comes out is what was in it. So the best thing for our neshama is to realize it. The word best and the word tov is all about bringing out what it is. I mean, if a cherry tree produces apples, there's a problem there. Not because there's something wrong with apples, but a cherry tree shouldn't be producing apples, and there's something wrong with it. Now, this is also true because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the tachlis in everything. So everything realizing itself means realizing the tachlis put into it, and that by definition is toif. I want to add another point over here that is important. He keeps speaking about the nefesh being tavur and the guf and so on. And the problem, when we talk about nefesh tavur guf, normally we think that the problem is as follows. I have a very holy neshama. Holy neshama wants to sit and learn all day. And my guf does not want to sit in any one place for more than 5 minutes. And I have to fight with my guf. That's a simple portrayal of the problem of being in a guf. The truth is that's kind of a minor problem. Let's say a mushel, if I want to go to Beis Medrash to learn and the door is jammed and I have to try to open it and I push and pull, it's a problem. But as problems go, that's not really what we're talking about. The problem is much deeper, and this is the point of the nefesh tevuah beguf. The sum total of who we are is our conscious self. Whatever it is that we feel, think, understand, that's our self. That's who we are. We have potential in both directions, but that's who we are. My perception of reality is filtered through my guf and my nefesh. It's not two different people fighting with each other. It is two different filters that produce one resultant picture. So if a person has a one type of filter on his camera and another filter on top of that, the picture is going to be filtered out in two areas. And that's the final picture. Our final sense of reality, of toiv and ra and so on, all of it is filtered through our guf and nefesh. And b'meila, it's crippled. It's limited because whatever limitations the guf has, that's a final picture of it. As our guf becomes less and less and less of a component in ourself, our picture changes. So, Lamashal, you take a small kid to an event. I remember as a young boy, we used to go to bar mitzvahs. There were two types of bar mitzvahs. There was yeshivish and non-yeshivish. In the yeshivish bar mitzvahs, the kid's table was either non-existent or outside in the hall or put down last minute. And they got served whatever was left in the kitchen. And basically, the only nice thing about it was we used to go to the bathroom to smoke a cigarette. That was basically the only good part of it. In the non-yeshivish bar mitzvahs, you sat the head table, the kinderlach, or the head table. They got served first. They were spoiled rotten. And that was a bar mitzvah. The bar mitzvah was, and they were much less drushes. That was definitely a big plus. So that's my kid. From my kid's understanding, as a person gets older, hopefully, as he grows and grows, what they're serving is less and less of his perception of this. The person asks himself, what are people? What are they talking about? What's going on? And so on. It changes. It's because his more gufnistic filters have become more refined, less important, and his other ones. But the sum total. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Lezakeh Letzarif means, as we begin to do more and more in the Olam HaMitzvahs, our sense of things changes, and b'meila our nefesh comes more to the fore of how we understand and so on. V'da Irak, he says, ki zehu hefrish, ki ilo noitzos toyer hanofim va'alin v'tzuros apayas akolu tivi. So a tree, it's a natural process. You plant a seed and it goes. Avla odam akol mitzara nefesh, ki malosa achoyne tivis klal, rak yesh odam nefesh leks yuchedes. By a person is more complex because there's no natural, if you put a person down and let nature take its course, it's downhill, not uphill. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to give us, so just like the person who doesn't have a natural sense of the aesthetic, you need to give him instructions, point by point by point, and slowly that feel for what fits, what matches, goes. A tree that doesn't produce what it's supposed to produce is a stunted tree. There's something wrong with it. If a person remains with his nefesh stuck in his chaima, that's the person, and that's all of his hasagas, he's got a problem. He says the mashal that Chazal use always as Paris in the Tzadikites, the pre and the Rashi, the pre Malolov, and so on. Those are all mishalim because that's exactly the tzura of mitzvahs. Nishalim the mitzvahs yetsa apol hashlemus b'mashu nefesh atzulim el mala, k'mo sheyotzi ha'il apol hashlemus shaloi, at shekoyna adam amar lo yoyna v'liyestavik b'yisparach. L'chein ein lecha lisha loma de mitzvah zayisarim b'shlemus b'fall. So he says to ask why a certain mitzvah makes you shlemus is a lack of understanding of what that is. It's almost you're chasing your tail. You don't understand why a certain mitzvah makes you shlemus because you're not that yet. It's only when you become that you understand it. It's like a child says, why should I become an adult? It doesn't make the adult world doesn't make sense to me. Yeah, that's exactly right. You're not an adult until the adult world doesn't make sense to you, and that's why you're not there yet. The Olam HaMitzvahs cannot make sense to a person before he comes into Olam HaMitzvahs because he's not there yet, because he's Batsim. So if someone asks me, is it will how will mitzvahs improve my life? the answer is they will not improve your life. They will give you a life that you don't have yet. There's another point here that's emphasized. Nobody, you know, the most famous mantra of teenagers is, you want me to be something I'm not. This, you know, this is not me. This is the one excuse that when a teenager becomes philosophical, that's the excuse. So you want me to be somebody I'm not, and so on and so forth. So obviously sometimes it could be true, but most of the time, as the get through most of the mitzvahs, the answer is, it is who you really are, and except you're not aware of it yet. You cannot make a person something he's not. And if somebody doesn't have a teva for X, Y, or Z, the etzem, it'll never happen. The person might go through the motions, it'll never click in. But we have a lot more in us that we don't realize. And only by doing it, for many people, a marshal, that's how it goes. You take a kid, you force him to sit and learn, and most kids, there's a turning point where things click into place and he can't imagine himself not learning, you know, or whatever. It's something that there's, because we have a chelik in us that is of a different cut, and because we're not even aware of it so much, we're not there yet. Until we're there, we're not there yet. Also want to add to that, and down deep, the person will never be fully happy until he hasn't realized it. Because, so take a person who has more kohos that are not being realized. We believe in Munish Lema that those kohos are pressing in a person to realize themselves. And therefore, the person is not going to be fully happy with what he is and what's going on, unless something more comes out. A Baal Chai is always happy when its needs are met, and that's it. A person is restless. He asks himself, well, you told me before that what you want is X, Y, and Z. Here you have X, Y, and Z. It's good. But it's not, because in a person, Kolzman, a person has in himself potential that's waiting to be realized. He is not going to be happy until he hasn't realized himself. So I think what he means over here is, and he's going back to his tziruf of the two different yanim of Shasa and Ramach, is that the person realizes the shleimus both vis-a-vis his own potential and vis-a-vis the world around. One is that he shouldn't go out in the Seder from this world, and one is that he finds his own Seder. I think that's his Bimur Ramazan. But later on, he's going to make it a little different, but I think this is what he means, because he's going back again to that pshat, that one is going to get Yomim, one is going to get Adam, and he's explaining that Adam and Yomim are a different world. Yomim is the natural world around us, and Adam, I think that's what he's trying to say over here. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions, any points, any... But these are very, I mean, this musig of seder is a word that he uses constantly, and it means, it's like when we call a universe, what we mean is a complete entity in its own metzias. So the physical world is a universe. You have eating, fighting, drinking, sleeping, dying, giving birth. That's a complete world. And you can sit and study it, and it makes sense in its own right. A person's psychology is a world in its own right. So say there is a certain structure, which means it's complete in its own right, and it makes sense vis-a-vis itself. The pieces fit together to some whole. And the word sikhli, as he uses it, the Maharal, always means a world that to us is conceptual and abstract, not a world that we can relate to Metzius. So those are points that he makes constantly.
Okay. Probably the Nakuta of that a person doesn't understand it until he's actually there. Yes. How does that clash with the Baal Tshuva movement, where it's not like you can force a potential Baal Tshuva to sit and learn for a while until he gets it like a kid, and yet there's many, many people that apparently are getting something and they're being drawn to it despite the fact that nothing is forcing them to be in there until they're there.
So that's the belief. Let's give a mashal. You have somebody who goes to a psychologist, or a psychologist working with somebody. This person has formed his own world where everything is fine and good. He's whatever it is, he's repressed and doesn't not miss yachas or whatever happened. But the reason why he's there is because there is something there that's bothering him. He may be somewhat conscious of it. So what you do is you push on an area where you say you're not really happy and this and that. If the person attacked, you know, if there's a pesach there, if there's like a thread sticking out, you can begin to pull the rest of it. The only way a Baal Tshuva could work is when somebody tells somebody there's more to life than what you're living. One person will say the only thing more life is another bottle of wine. And someone else will say, will react. He'll fight you, or he'll say, I want to hear more. Those are two simanim of a yid. The fact, the only way it could work is if you have an opening. There's no way in the world I can force my opinion or understanding on somebody unless there's a Pesach there. So the Pesach can be a Pesachim. So when I go to somebody and I say, what are you living for? And if the person says to me, you're whacked, I don't know what you mean. And he's not interested in listening, he doesn't have it. Nothing's going to work. And a lot of times, for many Baal Tshuva, it's the actual experience of mitzvah. Person goes and he does out of curiosity, out of whatever it is, and something sits well with him. So you're right. That transition requires a belief, an emunah shleima, that the person in him has a chelka kaimimal. What Chabad accomplished in tshuva, it wasn't that they started a tshuva movement, so everybody started a tshuva movement. The idea that even a person who is quote unquote totally off and totally gone is not. Down deep, there's a piece in him that's not happy because it's not fitting all those pieces. It's like, you know, I know myself, I have three left thumbs when it comes to doing things. So when I'm supposed to snap A into B, most of A will snap into most of B. And I start being chayke v'dar, I say, no, ruba kekulay, so if ruba's kekulay, mistame should work. I've had this experience in many different places. No, if it hasn't snapped in completely, it's just a question of how long it'll take to unsnap. You know, if there's a Pesach, then it's going to fall apart. Unless everything snapped, the same with a person. Because we have a chelkel kaimimal that pushes us, it's something. I want to tell you something. The fact that from Yidden who become not from are usually viciously anti-from, a lot of times because it's not a settled issue. Nobody goes around saying, I'm so upset with my mother. She told me the stork brings a baby and it's not, just found out it's not true. And I read the scientific journals and it's a shek of a chazan's death. The person laughs it off. He laughs it off. It's not even talking about it. Things that we don't care about. You know, my mother thought that olive oil is a cure. I think it's funny and that's it. It's only because there's something in a person that's still not settled. And that's why... You know, we believe in Munah Shleima that every person who's a Yid has a Chelek HaKayim Mimal. And therefore, once you have that Amunah, so I may succeed, I may not succeed, but what I'm doing is I'm pushing. And that's in the Kuda that's unsettled and unfulfilled and unhappy part is the part that's going to have to respond.
The muscle from the beginning of the shiur about the different color wires.
Yeah.
The way we're saying it now is it's not just it, the learning that we're doing is not just a terminology that to give us some sort of understanding. It's the real. It's
real, but we don't muscle. Why is an animal that chews its cud and has split hoofs a kosher animal to eat? Why is that a good for you to eat? It's a simon milsa. If I follow it, I get it right. I'm eating only things that are good for neshama. The why of it, so the reasons that I give mitzah this world, those animals tend to be docile, tend to do this, they're kind of pale. They don't really, really, I mean, it's not satisfying, but it opens up a world. And when a yid is a kaddish, it makes sense to him. He feels right. All the stories about big tzaddikim that they pushed away food that wasn't snapped. So one way of looking is Akash Baruch does bring a michshol tzaddikim. I would like to think of it that there's an intuitive sense of a person who he's part of that world, and therefore kedusha is meaningful to him. The way, I don't have much of a sense of music, so sometimes this note is off. Maybe, I don't know. You know what? There's a person I work with on this. He does the typesetting for my firm and the layout and so on. He's amazingly good. He's not just a stroll. He's an amazingly talented person in this area. He's got a very, very good sense of it. He's very famous. And he told me once, he showed me two Sfarim that are similar. He says, which one do you like and which one don't you like? He wasn't talking about the content. He was talking about the appearance. And I said this. He said, why? I said, I don't know. I just like this. He said, I can tell you in advance what people like, what I don't like, and I can tell you why. And he points out, and again, he spoke with his technical language, is spacing, the proportion of space to the size of letter, the way that the edges of letter. But he said, everyone has preferences. There's a reason why you buy this and not this safer. But why it is, he does. He understands it. And, I had a very interesting, in the old days of printing, they used to have, the computers couldn't print out stuff. They could print out with very, very, very primitive type of letters, not really sophisticated, no laser printer, no inkjet printer. So you used to have to go to a guy. He had this machine where you put in the disc and it would print out, like on photography paper, it would print out the stuff the way it would look when it was printed. And whenever you're printing a safe or something like that, that's where you went to. So the first I went to looked at it and he told the fellow, you're making lines that are 8 pika, I need a 9 pika line. The guy told him, Yossi, you're bluff. You can't tell the difference between, no one in the world can tell the difference. He said, try me. So the guy put out two lines, two different papers, took him a few seconds, and he said, this is 9, this is 8. And the guy was like blown away. He had a feel for it. And that's why in his world, he could, these things were real to him. To me, I don't know, it's words. And so I can follow instructions. The line should be 9 pika, 9 pika. The letters, the difference is, but I don't have the ability to translate it.
Okay. How come? Okay, is there time for a question?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. The Maharal seems to be saying that the mice and mitzvahs are meraining the person. What's pshat that we often don't see that? What's pshat that we often don't see that playing out?
So, like many things in the world, it's a slow process. You pay a lot of money to go to an orthodontist, and hopefully you don't see a change from one day to another. There's a problem if your teeth moved enough from one day to another to know the change. And you hope to look at a change at the end of a year. Anybody in the yeshiva, mashkech, who's has any das in him knows that the type of change bachur make overnight is bin laila hoysa, bin laila holcha. At best it comes and goes. At worst it stays. That's the type of change that it doesn't have any real significance to it. A slow, steady change is what makes a difference. If you look a person, you know, there's a musig in Yiddishkeit, it's Kenim. You know, I grew up with elder, with older Yidden who worked hard. I mean, I remember Yidden Laurie's side, he used to make hats, real manual work, blue collar work. He was a Chassidish Yid, a Tyre Yid. Everything he did about him had so much oomph to it. It was, you know, we worked out, worked through. When you do a mitzvah for 50 years with sweat and seriousness, it changes the person. And in a much better way than the kid who decides to make six tiniest dibbers in 1 week because he heard it from you know, it's a different phrase. So the change does come. And a yid who's serious about what he's doing, there's change in the person. But you know, it's slow change. But that's why the music of an older of Zkenim and you know there's like a kind of derogatory mark about you know young people's frumkeit versus Zkenim's you know Metzias Oiskarabit you know all those terminology is the difference between somebody who's an impulsive shot of adrenaline to a long process of development. Okay, next week there'll be a tzim, and I say that I'm not going to be here next week, so I will not be here. But Be'ezus Hashem, in 2 weeks, I believe will be okay. Let me just double check. I mean, next week. So next Sunday is not Nogea. In two Sundays. In two Sundays should be okay. Be'ezus Hashem. If there's any change, I'll let you know. But next week, not. Okay, guten. Take care.